Tonight, as we enter session 7 of our focus on the tribulation period, we're going to be looking tonight at who are the 144,000 that are spoken of in Scripture. And not only are we going to look at who they are, but we're going to look at the depth of what is going on with them during this time and what their function is going to be, and we're going to do it from the Scripture. I always remind you and warn you, be careful of folk who will get out here and write a whole bunch of different books and all, and those books are great if they're scripturally based, but only if they're scripturally based. That you pay attention to some of those books. Now, you say, well, how do I know they're scripturally based? Get your Bible, compare what they're saying with the scripture that they're quoting. Remember, and I found this out years ago because we have groups in the Christian realm that do research background for pastors, to where pastors don't spend hours and hours like your pastor does on going back and finding out the basics and all of this. So you will get information on certain parts of Scripture and certain things that are going on. And what I found was, I'm reading the Scripture that they would send for this situation, and I said, that's not what that Scripture means. And then I was told later on that these are seminary students that do a lot of the research, and they just will key in the word and pull it up on the computer and say that, you know, because that word is there. But so we have to watch all of that. I see them a lot of times, and I will use some of those outlines just for guidelines, but I have learned well that you have to watch yourself, read the Scripture. They use a Scripture reference, and you're looking at it, you look up that Scripture reference, and you think it has nothing to do with anything about the topic. So I do pay very close attention to that. When we're looking tonight at the 144,000, one thing that I've learned also, the best commentary on the Bible, what is it? The Bible. Always remember, if you'll keep reading, the Bible will explain to you what you just read. God has a way of doing it. People say, well, you know, you have to have a commentary for all these great minds to explain to you what you just read. Well, the greatest mind I know happens to be the author of the book called the Bible. And he does quite well in explaining, but you have to continue to read to find out. Tonight, as we're looking, we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 through 17. I'm going to read all of those verses first. I will back up. We'll go over some of the verses. I'll let you see something very important with them. But listen well to it as we discover tonight who are the 144,000 that the Scripture speaks of going through the tribulation period. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Let me stop right there. Need to remind you again, folks, because some folk forget this. What you're seeing right now, like the evil and all that comes about on planet Earth. Last Sunday night, I asked you, where does Satan dwell? Where does he live? Where's his home place? It's Earth. Yeah, it's Earth. He's here with us. He's everywhere, yes. But he's not in hell. His abode is not in hell yet. It hadn't been cast down there. That's why if he was in hell, maybe we wouldn't be having all the trouble we're having. But what you find today, like such as judgment or the evil things that are going on, that comes from Satan, not God. God is not one that's going to pour out his wrath on the people yet. That time is coming. But what you will see during the tribulation period is the wrath of God. Remember, we went over that study. It's all the wrath of God. God is now judging, and his wrath is coming out on the land and on the people. Will there be people saved during this time? Yes. Multiples of people saved during this time. How many? I haven't the slightest idea. I don't know how many people have already been saved. But I do know what Scripture tells me. The sight of them was as a group that could not be counted. Now, that's a lot of people. When God says they can't be counted, that's a lot of people. That's our brothers and sisters, folks, that we're going to be with throughout eternity. A lot of you, I remember the country parson that said that, when you get to heaven, there's going to be just as many people surprised to see you there as you are to see them. And that's about the way that we think here on earth. But God says, I'm going to give you that grace, so listen to this. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Now listen to me. This is God's judgment coming down. God is sending the angels to judge and bring the wrath down upon earth and upon the human beings living on earth. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Now, I'm going to get into that in a moment. You're going to get excited with me over this. This is the angel, what it was, Michael, we have no idea. I'm not even worried about which angel it was. But what I am saying, the archangel, one of the archangels cries out and says, stop. Don't you do anything yet. So a seal is getting ready to be put on them. Well, who's it going on? Then I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Where's the tribe of Dan? Anybody see Dan there? One thing to remember about this, for us to really know why Dan is not mentioned, let me say this to you. The tribe of Dan happened to have been the first tribe of Israel to go into idolatry, to go back into idolatry. It is amazing to me that throughout Scripture, throughout from generation to generation, God comes in, God leads people out of bondage, like he did to Israel, bringing them out of Egypt, blessing them with so much, and not long after they get out, they turn to idolatry. They walk away from him. That was the first tribe that did, but not the only tribe. So is that the reason? Don't have any idea. Okay, then what'd you bring it up for? I want you to know that when you see something like that, go back and do a little bit of research on it and understand, what went wrong there. This helps us. One thing is key. Idolatry, meaning where you will put your faith and your trust in anything rather than who Jesus is. That's idolatry. And it's not the idea that I like my truck or I like my motorcycle or I like my whatever. What do you like?
Motorcycles are good.
Yeah, they're good. Well, I like those things. But that's not the thing of it. It is when it becomes your God. And so what they were doing, but the actual idol worship, folks, was they'd have these little gods fixed up, and the gods of wood and stone and all of them, they would actually pray into them. So it was actually that kind of idol. Today, I hope and pray that we're not doing that, but I know some folk that wear symbols around their neck that they pray to and all of this, and I'm sorry for that. You don't have to. I don't even have to go through Jesus Christ to get to God in my prayers because it's already taken care of. I go through and pray in Jesus' name but I can pray direct to God. And why can't anyone else? Okay. It was just a short little preaching part there. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. That's us. You got it? From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. One of the questions that I was asked one time, do you wear clothes in heaven? That answered. That was a question I got one time. I used to, do you wear clothes in heaven? You wear white robes. And were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. That's also translated beast in one of them. But anyway, they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Who is 144,000? The Jewish nation. It's the Jews. Now, why? Why all of a sudden then do we have God? It's not all of a sudden. It's from the beginning of the age. Why we have God coming and showing such grace on the Jewish nation that had turned their back on him. The one thing I can tell you, that when God looks at us, and he's so gracious with us, the church age, when God began, remember he told the Jews, you take the message. I hope I got that across this morning. The Jews refused to do it. They refused to take the message. Therefore, then, he said, then I'll go to the Gentiles. The message was going to get out, and that's the church age. Now, why then is he backing back up? What he is doing is not backing up, but fulfilling. What God says from the time, beginning of the time of age, what God said, God will complete. God said that he was going to rule on the throne of David. God, there Jesus was going to rule here on earth. You will see that in the millennial reign of Christ himself. He is fulfilling what he said he was going to do. Jewish nation, you are my people. You started my people. You're going to end up my people. I am going to reach down and you are going to be given that opportunity. Many people say, well, they should have accepted Jesus when they had the opportunity. There they were. Well, we should have accepted Jesus many times when we had the opportunity. Why didn't we? Oh, how many people do you know out here today that don't believe? A lot of reasons they don't believe is because they look at a Christian and say, well, if that's what it is, I don't want it. But if being a Christian is condemning everybody that isn't, who wants to be there? Well, I don't either. People say, well, I can't stand religion. And I say, well, I can't either. I love the relationship with Christ, but I'm not religious at all. I'm a Christian. Now, Jesus says then that he is going to touch the heart of the Jewish nation, and they will know, and they will be converted. Now, let's look at something. And I hopefully can bring some of this scripture that I just read out to you. What are the characteristics of the 144,000? Number one, they have been purchased. Folks, listen to me. Nobody's going to be in heaven that has not been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. There is no one in heaven that has not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. It's always by the blood and only by the blood. Revelation 14:3. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the new song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You want me to sing it? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, let me back up. No one could learn the song except the 144,000. Okay, does that mean then none of the other multitude knew? No. Only the 144,000 that had become believers were the only ones that were going to be present that could learn the new song. Non-believers cannot learn the song. Non-believers cannot learn, don't know anything about the blood of Christ. What is the new song? I don't know, but I'm going to sing it. And I'm going to do good at singing it when I get there too. Because I'm going to be empowered by the blood of Christ. So they have been purchased. Now, number two, they have been prepared. What goes on with us in the church age right now? We meet together to prepare. We prepare our hearts, prepare our minds. We study the Word of God to learn the truth. Folks, I had been taught and set under people. They didn't lie to me. They just didn't know. They had just not really looked, and they were telling me what their grandparents had told them and what their grandparents had told them and all of this. Then I get called to preach, and I start looking and reading and doing it, and background research and all of this, and still crying out, why didn't somebody tell me this? And the answer has been, we didn't know to tell. So that's what we're to do today. You and I are to prepare. We're to prepare our hearts and our mind. And folks, when we're preparing our mind, let's prepare our mind spiritually. And I'm talking about in a spiritual manner to where we listen as the Holy Spirit gives us direction in God's Word. And as we are being prepared, God says, I will give you the opportunity to get prepared. Now, of the rough times that we're in today, nothing compared to times of the past or the times that's coming. Nothing at all compared to the tribulation period. But we are protected. Right now, you can go home and you can read that scripture all you want. Nobody's kicking in the door to say, I didn't come for your guns. That's tomorrow. I came for your Bible today. If they can get the holy word of God out of a man's hand, then you will not know the difference between right and wrong. If the word of God is pulled out, that's why we are to remember as much as we can about the word of God. Hide his word in our heart that we may not sin against God. But listen to this. Revelation 7:3-4. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the forehead of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Why are people trying to say that they're another denomination or any of this other than the Jewish nation? The scripture says they're going to be Jews. It's going to be the Jewish nation that are going to be the 144,000 in the tribulation. And people in our generation, and I'm talking about Christians who don't really act very Christian a lot of times, are saying, well, I don't think those Jews ought to be saved. And I have heard people so hard and so down on the Jewish nation, and I think, well, listen, brother, I happen to be an adopted Jew. Don't be talking about my brothers like that. You and I have got to understand we have been saved by grace. Why do we get so mad when we see God pouring out grace on others? Christian, we have to watch ourselves. I want his judgment. Judge them. I mean, they killed Christ. No, they didn't sin kill Christ. And Jesus chose. He knew before time began what was going to happen. don't be pointing fingers. If you do, you got to point at yourself on this. But listen, Revelation 14, 1. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Now, we're told that when the church is raptured, now remember what I'm teaching here. You and I are already in heaven, folks. We are in heaven. During this 7-year period, we are with Christ in heaven. Remember, during the rapture, he never set foot on the earth. It's not the second coming yet. We're in heaven. What are we doing? According to Scripture, we're being assigned what we are going to do in God's ministry during the millennial reign, when Christ comes to earth and reigns for 1,000 years. Okay, new heaven, new earth isn't in existence until after the millennial reign, the 1,000 years. We're coming back. Well, how can that many people fit on earth? I hear people saying, my word, folks, how could you and I be indwelled by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? How in the world could you and I know beyond any doubt as Christians that we're heaven bound? How could God save such a sinner like me? How could a God keep a sinner like me saved? I don't know. But I know that he does. It's called faith. It's called believing that God is able to accomplish. So I'm not going to worry about, again, how many angels sat on the pin of the needle. What I am going to focus on is God said it. I believe it. This 144,000 are prepared. They're worshiping him. I will be pulling on another section on this, Revelation 7, 3 through 4, because I want you to notice something on that. Remember that Satan will place his mark of preparation on his followers. You and I have been marked. We get a new name. The Lord says we get a new name. Is that new name Grace? I don't know. Maybe they're going to be, all of us going to be called Grace. Who knows? We got a new name. And the name, his protective name, is going to be on the head of these 144,000. Now, I want you to remember something. They're still in the tribulation period here. They're not dead. And here we are. We're looking at the angels coming to bring destruction. And you're hearing another angel say, whoop, wait just a minute. See, you and I are sealed. We are sealed in our salvation, to where we cannot lose it. We are sealed by the blood of the Lamb. No one can break that blood seal. Why would you think that God would not seal those then who are saved during this horrible period of time? Why would we not be so happy and proud for them, and also happy and proud that we ain't going through it? That we're up there getting our assignments. Will we see what's going on? More than likely, yes. We will know what's going on. Now, I don't know whether Fox News is going to be reporting up there. I'm sure CNN won't. But, I mean, I don't know whether Fox News is doing it or not. But there will be reports, and we will understand it. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. He also forced everyone. This is Satan doing this with his mark. Forced everyone. Have you ever noticed that Satan always has to force? And you can't get saved unless it's of your own free will, freedom of choice. Satan forces, very powerful forcing also. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. What we call a 666. Okay, or that's the Antichrist. But listen to this. As you're looking at this and noticing that when we get into the spiritual writing, when we're getting into to matters that go beyond us, what we need to remember is this. As long as you have the seal of the blood of the Lamb, nothing bad can touch you. You cannot be touched by any of what's going on during the tribulation, because the tribulation period is the wrath of God. And I've told you and given you the scripture, a Christian can never ever receive the wrath of God. We're bought and paid for. Jesus, we belong to him. He is our Savior. Now, look at number three. Here's where I want to bring something out to you. This is Revelation 7, verses 1 through 3. After this, I saw four angels. I know I've read it to you. This is a different part. Number three is they are protected. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Now, next Sunday, when I give you these plagues that are coming and the bowls and all of the part of the tribulation where all of these horrible plagues are coming, I want you to remember this. You remember when, let me do this with you. Remember when Joseph goes into Egypt, and Joseph becomes, he was second to nobody but Pharaoh himself. Remember Joseph? And that's where his people come in. And then they are given the land of Goshen. Remember that? Remember all the most fertile land and everything? Joseph, the Hebrew nation, received that land. Okay, then later on, they're being led. They go into slavery because the scripture says, and there arose a king, or arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. There arose a king who knew not Joseph. That's old English, isn't it? And the plagues then come. You know, Moses comes to deliver the people in the 10 plagues. Remember something. There was no fence, there was no wall between the Egyptian property and the land of Goshen, where the Hebrews were. But every plague that come, every locust, every one of the plagues, hit only the Egyptians. None of them ever touched the land that God had given to the Hebrew nation. No plagues could reach across there to do anything to them. They were protected. Nothing you could see protected them. But everything that you know about the grace of God protected them. It was that wall that protects you, the same wall. Once you belong to him, when you're God's chosen, God's people, and you depend on him for that protection, there's no kind of plague that can touch you. It's impossible. If that plague comes direct from God, I can tell you this, even Satan's plagues can't touch you. Unless he goes through God first to ask permission. And only God will only give him permission for a period of time to teach us whatever we need to learn during that process. Do good people have bad diseases? Yes. When one of the great problems with us as Christians is, again, when we see a fellow Christian die, we're so broken and wonder, why did God take him? Not understanding scripture, of knowing that we don't even get started living until we leave this body. It's the blessing. Death is a blessing, folks. It's a doorway. I've hit that a few times, haven't I, over the years. And we have to understand that. Listen to him. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Okay. God is giving you and I a picture here. Here's what I think about you. When you say you believe, nothing bad can happen to you with my protective seal on you, which is the blood of the Lamb. We're sealed by the blood of the Lamb. We have the mark already. We just can't see it. In our glorified bodies, we will have that mark of the seal. What is it? I don't know. I don't care. But I do know this. that we, by the blood of the Lamb, are the living servants of Almighty God. And God himself sends the angel, an archangel, I'm sure. I mean, you know, when I say that, when you hear me stuttering when I'm talking about that, there may be higher angel authorities than we know of. We do not know the names of all the angels. We do not know all the positions except for those. Michael, the archangels, we know of them, the cherubim and the seraphim, you know, the ones who had the wings. The other, not any other angels ever have wings. But we also realize that there may be other angels that we don't know the name of them or the name to call them. But anyway, he's coming and saying, stop. So God stops all the tribulation, won't let it start, until his chosen are protected. Now, he's protecting them through the tribulation, folk. He is not pulling them out of it. He is protecting us through our life in this church age. He's not pulling us out of it. He's leaving us here to be about his business. And what he is saying to them here, what the angels are saying at this point, is during the tribulation, it's 144,000. Oh, will there be others saved? Yes! And these are the dudes that are going to be leading them to Christ. Preacher, excuse me. These are the ones that God's going to use. So what's he doing? He's giving them the mark of protection, the same way that we have the seal of protection of the blood of the Lamb with us. Larry, you're saved. Well, now, folks, if that's all God wanted me to do was get here and on planet Earth, be born, and to recognize his Son as Lord and Savior and get saved, if that's the end of it, he could just take me on home. Right? I mean, why leave me here? But he said, I'm going to seal you and protect you to do what I call you to do. That's what he's doing with 144,000. He's telling the angels that's going to bring the wrath, don't bring anything yet, boys, until the mark is on them, until they're protected. He didn't say until, let me get them out of the way. No, he's not going to get them out of the way. He's going to send them in the way, but they're going to be protected. Now, you and I can see some horrible situations in this world. You go overseas, you'll see worse. You'll see Christians that are being tortured for their faith. We've never seen that yet. It's probably coming in our country. We have not seen it yet. But still, they're being tortured for their faith. Now, catch what I said. Still, they're being tortured for their faith. They are standing up and saying, yes, I'm a Christian. What I said this morning was, you know, how many people even know that you are a Christian? Not how many people do you share Christ with. How many people even know you're a Christian? Okay, God said, I'll put the seal on you, church, but get about doing my business. You're protected. So that's where I keep fussing that Christians who keep bouncing around or whether they're saved or lost or saved or lost, get it fixed in your head that Jesus, once he seals you, you are sealed, and then get about God's business, because there's others out here that don't know Jesus. They need you. God wants you out there telling them and leading them to his Son. Now, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Next week, when we're looking at these, this horrible wrath of God that's coming down, you're going to understand and see through this that none of these, just like in the land of Goshen, can touch God's chosen. Now, you talk about if, now, think about it. When Jesus came, what led so many to him? Miracles. You know, you raise a couple of dead people, you got a following pretty good, right? And not only that, you raise a couple of dead people, heal a couple of lame people, and then feed about 15 to 20,000 that don't cost them anything. You got a big following then. You know, now, what's going to be happening here? they're going to be protected. Well, they're going to be going through a lot of horrible things. You and I don't understand. We know can only relate to ourselves. We know, well, you think about it, the loss of a loved one, yet you work through it. God gives you the grace and you go through it. The bad, horrible situations that happen, have you seen families that it looks like that every other day something horrible happens to them and they still worship in the Lord? The same thing is going to hold true during this time. Doesn't mean that they're not going to have to deal with this. It means that God is going to walk them through it. But they have a purpose for being there. And that number four, they are persistent. You know, if the Christian nation today, if the church age people were persistent as the world is to reach in and pull our children out of it, if we were as persistent to go out and stop them from grabbing our children, the church would not only grow, the church would glorify God. See, we have the power. We have the strength to do what God has called us to do. How do I know that? He called us to do it. He who calls you will prepare you. He who calls you will make a way. He who touches you and asks you to go somewhere will make sure you can get there. Poor Paul. You know, God said, Paul, go to Rome. Am I going to go to Rome? I don't have any way of getting to Rome. Oh, I know. I can go to prison, take a few beatings, be shackled. I can get to Rome. So what does Paul say? He said, I appeal to Caesar. And his judge, you know, looked at him and said, well, the man would have been released. He couldn't have been released. He had to get to Rome. And the only way he could go was go as a prisoner. He said, then to Rome you shall go. I can picture Paul. Well, yeah, you didn't catch that one, did you? You missed that. I'm going to get to go to Rome, and I'm going to preach. You realize how many people came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of that man? But he did it. They were persistent. Revelation 14:4. These are those who did not defile themselves with women. Okay, let me get into that with you before people start going nuts with that one. This simply means that their whole focus was on serving God, not to do what most normal would have been for the men and all of this, you know, to have fallen in love, to have the family. This time is over. This is a direct calling for them to be true priests and preachers. The true priests and preachers that really were celibate, really the priests and preachers that were so dedicated to God that the human existence didn't enter their mind, okay? Or the desires didn't enter their mind. Or if it did, they were able to take care of it. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. Chosen. Now, does God know their names? You better believe it. He knows their names. He knows when they're going to be born. He knows all of this, and he's the only one. Sure, he knows. And they were purchased by God, handpicked for what's getting ready to take place. Number five, they are preachers. Preachers revealing the heart of God. Now, to my preacher friends, one thing that we have to certainly make sure of and be careful with when we're proclaiming God's word, when we're called preachers, we must make sure that when we preach, we are revealing the heart of God, not our wants or our desires, not what we think. Or not where we say, well, I think that one ought to go to heaven and I'm not so sure about this one and do all of that stuff. That's not what we're here for. Reveal the heart of God. Where will I find the heart of God? Right there in that book called the Bible. And the book called the Bible is the heart of God. That's the breath of God. That's the word of God. That's the whole heart of of God that we need. Well, isn't there more to God than that? You better believe it. But we can't even absorb this, can we? But we have all it takes, and God will give us the strength. And fulfilling Matthew 24:14. Here's where this is fulfilled, folks. Many people are saying today, well, the end can't come, or meaning the second coming or the rapture or any of that, not second coming, but the rapture can't come until this takes place. Remind you again, there is nothing listed in Scripture that has to take place before the rapture comes. That's why we know that the rapture can happen at any second, any time. There's nothing that Scripture says about this is what you're going to see just before the rapture. This is the second coming, what you will see. So the ones who are dealing with this are those in the tribulation. I hear people saying, that, well, that can't happen because the Word of God hadn't been preached all over the lands yet. Well, how do you know that? Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So you're talking about during that tribulation period, there will be such preaching. You talk about revivals going on. You mean people are going to be saved during this time? Yes. Oh, I got to get this across. Folks, listen to me. We are so blessed. The church age is so blessed that by grace, God pouring out such grace on us, we miss the Old Testament garbage. All the battles and cutting off the head, we miss that. We miss this tribulation time. Why? The Scripture says we miss it because God wants to point back to the church, according to Scripture, and to show all those in ages to come what a merciful and gracious God He is. We are His example of pure grace. Enjoy it, appreciate it, accept it, and deal with life as life comes, because you're living pure by the full grace of Almighty God. The time is coming in this age when the church is no longer in existence here on earth. We're pulled away, and God once again starts this end of the age with this group. I said doing it a different way, but not with a different personality. It'll always be Jesus, folks. It's been Jesus from the beginning. It'll be Jesus to the end. It's always been with Jesus. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Many people, again, even many church people, really have a problem with wanting to reach out and to lead people to Christ that they little have a few hang-ups with. Well, I don't want some drunk beside of me. I want every drunk beside of me. I want every criminal that I could ever touch their heart with the Word of God. I want to see them in heaven. There is no one. And I'm talking about people that have done harm to me, people that try to destroy the ministry that God had given me, that I would always laugh at them. If you can destroy it, it couldn't have been from God, so go ahead and do your best. I want them in heaven with me because I love them. I love them. Do y'all remember Nicky Cruz? Remember the old times of Nicky Cruz? Okay. Remember when he was standing in front, I can't think of his name, the preacher was standing there and he said, it's Nicky was telling the preacher that. I said, I can use this switchblade and I can cut you up into 1,000 pieces. David Wilkerson. Yes, David Wilkerson. Thank you, sir. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Some people remember the old days. David Wilkerson, when he's standing there and he's saying that, he said, I can cut you up in 1,000 pieces. And the preacher looked at him and, you would think, well, we'd say, well, yeah, you'd do it, or we'd turn and run. David said, yes, and every piece would still love you. Remember, that's what got him. He said, yes, you could, and ever peace would still love you. Well, I wouldn't have thought to do that. I would have been reaching for a peace or something, you know, to even it up. But that was a gift from God. And then he turns in, or God uses him to preach. You see, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. If Jesus came for that, and we represent Jesus, then that's what we're to be about, seeking to save all those who are lost. And if we will do that, seek and save all those who are lost, God will bless our life with abundance. Folks, you got to get it. God said, you serve me, and you won't have to worry about anything. But don't serve me so that you won't have to worry about anything. Do you get that? Don't let that be the motivator. The motivator must be that you're going to serve God out of pure love. And you say, I have no idea what I'm doing. And when you say that, God said, man, that's the woman, that's the man that I want. He doesn't know what he's doing, so he'll listen to me.